This is an Equity Mates Media podcast.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Equity Minds.
I will say this about investing. Everything you do learn is cumulative. What I learned at 20 is you can.
Another episode of Equity Mates, a podcast that follows our journey of investing. Whether you're an absolute beginner or approaching Warren Buffett status, our aim is to help break down your barriers from beginning to dividend. My name is Bryce, and as always, I'm joined by my equity buddy, Ren. How are you going, bro?
I'm very good, Bryce. I'm sure you can hear from this crisp quality audio that you're listening to in your headphones right now that I am currently under a blanket again.
Oh, back under the blanket. Unfortunately, yes, we are here in lockdown recording on the 1st of July. Happy new FY22, by the way. Exciting times for us in finance.
We didn't have an end of financial year party.
It was a bit hard when in lockdown, but must take note that when we're out, we should go and celebrate the end of FY21.
Yeah. But look, we want to start this episode by just, saying our thoughts with everyone, around Australia that's in lockdown. It's a tough time, to be locked down again. Hopefully it's all over soon and we can get back out there and actually have an... maybe not an end of financial year party, but a live event and see everyone again soon.
Yes. No, I couldn't have said it better, Ren. So we do have a couple of live events coming up that we're excited for, but we will hold fire on chatting about that until we do have a bit more clarity on what is going on around Australia with lockdowns. But one very exciting thing we can talk about before we get into discussion around mergers and listed investment companies and an update on the stock of the year, which is all going to be covered in this episode. We are super, super excited to announce that our book that we've been writing for the last... how many months, Ren? I can't even recall, but it's been almost, a year or thereabouts?
Yeah, well, less than a year. The thing that we've learned in the book writing process is you don't get a lot of time to write the book, but the publishing timelines in the book world are very different to the podcasting world. They obviously take a lot more care in making sure everything's right, whereas we are just pumping podcast content out.
hey, we are fast and loose, but we do take care with what we pump out. They're analog, we're digital. I think that's the difference. But look, our book, Get Started Investing, is now available for pre-order, which we are super excited about. You can head over to booktopia.com.au and just search Get Started Investing Equity Mates and it'll pop up there. It's available on pre-order. It's launching on the 31st of August here in Australia. So if you do pre-order now, you'll be one of the first in Australia to get that when it does launch. And we do really appreciate your support to absolutely get us to this point, and we would really appreciate your support in buying the book as well and gifting it to friends and family and everyone who you think should be getting started on their investing journey, because for a while now, Alec and I have thought that there isn't a book that really takes you through the A to Z of actually how to feel confident and get started in the markets, because we do believe that there's never been an easier time to start investing, and that's what we're covering in this book. So Ren, exciting times.
We've spoken to over 150 experts on this show, and we've pulled out some of the best lessons from those interviews. We've got a whole bunch of stories and you know, information from the Equity Mates community that we've included. And I mean, we're pretty happy with it. It would be a concern if we weren't happy with it. But look, we think it's a great book to really help people get started investing, or to go on in their investing journey. There's a whole section on things we wish we knew when we were getting started. So hopefully you can learn from our mistakes and learn from everything we've learned from doing the podcast, and it can help you go on your investing journey. And look, if you're an experienced investor and you don't need it, it is a beautiful centerpiece. Put it on your coffee table, put it on your bedside table, put it on the mantle, use it as a conversation starter. If you've got a wonky chair or table, put it under that to sort that out. It is a very versatile book. But look, most of all, if you love the show, if you love being part of the Equity Mates community and you want to help us grow it to, you know, even bigger and better, and you know, you want us to be able to get better guests and you know, do more content and more shows, buying this book really helps us, helps more people find out about Equity Mates, and the more people that are in the community, the more likely we are to get Warren Buffett on the show. So we've been told in no uncertain terms that having a good pre-order campaign is important when it comes to selling a book, so we would really appreciate your support if you can jump on Booktopia or wherever and pre-order a copy or four.
Nice. Well, I'm aware we've just done 6 minutes of preamble and and we don't we needn't do any more. So let's get stuck into this episode. We're seeing some big mergers in the listed investment company space at the moment, and we are going to unpack what is happening and what it means for shareholders. We are recording this on the 1st of July, as I said, so some of this has been in the news, but we wanted to just go a little bit deeper because we've spoken to actually a number of key members of some of both of the listed investment companies that we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, and given the pace of mergers in the listed investment company space at the moment, there may be another one before we even release this episode.
True.
But look, let's take a step back. We hate jargon here at Equity Mates, so let's start with a bit of a pardon the jargon for people that aren't familiar with the term. So Bryce, WTF is an LIC.
Not my best. Absolutely not your best. But a listed investment company, otherwise known as an LIC, is an Australian closed-end collective investment scheme, similar to investment trusts in the UK and closed-end funds in the United States. So instead of regularly issuing new shares or cancelling shares as investors join and leave the fund, investors buy and sell to each other on the ASX. So they are different to an ETF.
Maybe in more simple terms, it is a company that has a bunch of shareholders, and rather than using the money that the company has to make a product or service or do anything that a company does, it uses the money that it has to invest in other shares. And so the company makes money by, you know, being a good investor and making money on their investments. And as a shareholder in that company, you make money when the company makes money.
Yeah, well, you hope so. You also make money if the manager for the listed investment company is very good at marketing and creates a bit of fanfare.
Let's put a pin in that for now. And then look, I think you started to ask the question, how is it different to an ETF? And I think that's important. So if you're an investor in Australia and you want to invest in an actively managed fund, a fund where there's someone making decisions about what stocks to buy and sell, you can invest in a listed investment company or you can invest in an active ETF. What are the differences between the two?
So the main difference between an ETF and an LIC is the structure, as we mentioned. So it's, I mean, open-ended versus closed-ended.
And what does that mean?
An LIC has limits on how many shares that they issue, and every time that you're purchasing an LIC on the ASX, you're just trading the shares on the ASX. Whereas if you're buying into an ETF, it's open-ended. So you're actually getting new units issued from the ETF provider or the market maker every time that you buy into an ETF. They create more and more units. You're not just trading the same amount of units that have been created. So that's the major difference, I think, between an ETF and an LIC.
So if a LIC has 100 shares issued, it's got 100 shares issued, and the price of those shares is set by the supply and demand of investors buying and selling those 100 shares. And regardless of the value of the investments that the LIC holds, the actual share price is just set by supply and demand because there's 100 units on issue and they're being traded back and forth. With an ETF, there's not a set number of units. The price reflects the value of the investments. And as investors buy and sell, the ETF issuer is essentially expanding and contracting the number of units or shares on issue to meet supply and demand.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's part of the jargon. Now, there have been some big mergers in the listed investment company space recently. Mm. Washington H. Soul Pattinson, not the chemist, but a listed investment company that has grown out of the original chemist chain. It's now one of the bigger listed investment companies in Australia. ASX ticker SOL is merging with Milton Corporation, which is also a very old and established Australian listed investment company, ASX ticker MLT. And that's an $8 billion company merging with a $4 billion company. And then secondly, Wilson Asset Management, their global fund, ASX ticker WGB, which is valued at $600 million, is acquiring Templeton Global Growth Fund, ASX ticker TGG, which is valued at $300 million. So they're the two key mergers that have been announced in sort of the last month, and we're going to unpack both of them, what happened, what it will mean, and what it means for both groups of shareholders in this episode. But before we do, we should sort of zoom out and just talk about the LIC landscape in general, because there's a bit of a trend that we're seeing in the LIC market that's worth paying attention to.
Yeah, according to the AFR and Morningstar, at the start of 2020, there were 108 LICs on the ASX. But by the start of June 2021, there were only 98. So the trend seems to be that there's acquisitions or mergers taking place.
Yeah.
And as well as I guess, some of these LICs also converting into active ETFs. As well, you know, there's the Monash Absolute Investment Company, ASX MA1 is an example of that.
Yeah, ETFs are really the it product of Absolutely. The moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
They're really in vogue at the moment. Everyone, a lot of investors are choosing ETFs over LICs, and I think you know, some of these fund managers are taking note and making decisions about, is the LIC the right structure for them, or would they prefer to be in an active ETF instead? So yeah, the LIC options are, you know, there's still plenty. 98 is still more than enough to choose from, but it's a shrinking opportunity set there. So it's an important trend to keep note of, and it's one that, well, who knows if it will continue or not, but there's some interesting stuff happening in the space. The second merger we'll talk about, it's a story of underperforming LICs. So, yeah, we'll see what plays out over the coming months. But let's talk about these two mergers. There's definitely shareholders in the Equity Mates community in some of these LICs. So let's start with Washington H. Soul Pattinson and Milton Corporation. What happened?
What happened? Well, Soul Pattinson's ASX ticker SOL, as we said, is in a $4 billion takeover of Milton to create just shy of an $11 billion listed investment company. So an incredibly large investment company. They are two of the country's oldest investment houses. Milton was founded in 1938 and listed in 1958. So it's been kicking around for quite a while now. So what's going to happen? Well, Soul will acquire the remaining share capital that it doesn't already own in Milton. So it's worth noting they already have about 3.3% stake in Milton prior to this takeover, and they're going to be buying back the remaining 96.7% of that to form this listed investment company. So Rob Milner, who chairs Sol Pattinson's board and is also chair of Milton's LIC's board, and they both hold shares in each other. We've actually spoken as well to Tom Milner, who's involved with Brickworks, and has family history through all of this. So, side note: go and listen to that episode if you haven't.
The Milner family, one of Australia's biggest investing families. Rob Milner sitting on both of these boards, or chairing both of these boards. So that is what happened. I guess the question is, what does it mean? And also, why this merger? Like, an $8 billion LIC doesn't really need to take over or merge with a $4 billion LIC. And I think the key reason is Washington H. Sol Pattinson. Let's just make an agreement that we're just going to call it Sol Pats from now on, because
sure,
it's too long a name.
I'm actually going with Sol.
Okay, all right. I'll back you on that. All right, so Sol has a number of long-standing investments: New Hope Corporation, which is a big miner, and Brickworks, which is a big brick maker, and also has a number of investments. And they want to invest in new opportunities, but it would be incredibly there would be a big tax burden if they just sold some of these holdings, because they've held them for so long and there's been such capital growth while they've held them. So this merger for Souls is actually incredibly tax efficient. It doesn't have to sell some of these long-standing investments, but it expands its capital base, and so it's able to invest in some of these new opportunities that it's looking at.
Yeah. This is just going to really give them, they want to get more involved in property, into private equity, into debt. And this is going to allow them to get the capital base to do so and start investing in more asset classes, as you said, Ren, without having to sell and liquidate existing assets. So makes a lot of sense. And, you know, if you're a shareholder of both Milton and Soul Pats, it certainly seems like a decent idea. So let's have a look at what it actually means for Milton shareholders and for Soul Pattinson shareholders. Let's start with Milton shareholders. It seems to be a pretty great deal for Milton shareholders, because the deal itself is offering Soul Pattinson shares at a 10% premium to Milton's pre-adjusted pre-tax net tangible assets. And the reason that they can do that is because Soul Pats does own about 3.3 or 3.8% of Milton, then they don't actually have to buy the shares back, and those just, I guess, disappear, and therefore you're going to get that return on equity because of the reverse of a dilution.
A concentration.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the technical term, but for people who found that confusing, it's literally just like if I had a company and Bryce had a company, and I own 10% of Bryce's company, and then I acquired all of Bryce's company, that shareholding that I had, I can't own shares in myself, so those shares just get erased, basically.
Yeah. And so those shareholders of Milton will essentially get entitlement to some shares through a scrip offer in Seoul. It doesn't seem like it's a one-for-one deal. There's a multiplication effect.
You've just used a term there that we should probably explain: scrip.
So a scrip in Australia is a bid for a takeover offer where shares are offered partly or wholly in place of cash. So in this situation, there's a multiplier effect. So if you own X number of Milton shares, you're going to times it by the multiplier effect and it'll result in X number of Soul Patch shares. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. So can they opt to take the cash, the Milton shareholders, or do they? Is it just they get the shares or they sell shares in the public market?
Good question. Good question, yeah. I don't have the answer. The other good thing for Milton shareholders is that they are going to be entitled to receive 3 fully franked dividends totaling 52 cents per share. So they're getting a premium, they're getting a fully franked dividend, and then they're going to be getting the offer to convert shares to Soul Pats as well. So that's what it means for Milton shareholders.
Then for Soul's shareholders, I mean, in some ways, nothing changes. Like if you own 100 shares of Souls today and you own 100 shares of Souls a year from now, you know, you still own 100 shares. But there's obviously more shareholders. So you own a smaller percentage of the company, but you own a smaller percentage of a company that's a lot bigger. So in terms of what it means for Souls, so they're currently about 91st in the index in terms of biggest companies. This merger will, it's estimated, will take them up to number 54 in the index, which means a bigger market cap means bigger index weighting. So, you know, in our ASX 200 ETFs, their shares will be more of that index. And so all of our ETFs will buy a little bit more of Souls because they're going to be bigger. So that's one thing. But really for Souls, the story is around the additional liquidity. So the company is saying it's going to turbocharge. I actually don't think that's the terminology they used. I think that's the terminology you put in the notes. I would be surprised if Robert Milner was saying it would turbocharge, but it's gonna just help them with their strategy of investing, diversifying their investments away from some of their core holdings. So, as a Soul Patts shareholder, you should see different investment opportunities being realized by these guys. I guess the question as a shareholder is whether they're going to be good investments or not. But Souls, for those who are unfamiliar with the company, just has this unbelievable record of paying a dividend and increasing its dividend. And so as a Soul Patts shareholder, chances are that's a big reason of why you own them. So you've really got to assess, you know, the dividend story, because that's why so many Australian investors love that stock.
Yeah. Well, that is that's what's happening with the Washington Soul Patt and Milton Corp takeover, two of Australia's largest LICs joining forces to create a mammoth one. So before we move on to what's happening with Wilson Asset Management and Templeton Global Growth and have a look at our stock of the year, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Okay, Ren, so Wilson Asset Management Global and Templeton Global Growth Fund. We recently had Jeff Wilson on the show to talk about his war on LICs. So what's happening here?
Yeah, so if you haven't listened to our interview with Jeff Wilson, go give it a listen. It's a cracking interview, and he's got a long and storied history as an investor. I think his company, Wilson Asset Management, has 8 LICs listed on the ASX. So he is Mr. LIC. We actually should have called him that in the interview. Oh, well, missed opportunity. but his latest listed investment company is called Wilson Asset Management Strategic Value, and the ASX ticker is WAR, W-A-R. And he has come out and said he's declaring war on underperforming LICs. I'm noticing that I've had to say performing a lot in this episode, which I'm sure is annoying some people. So I'll try and avoid saying that. But look, there is a phenomena, I guess, on the ASX of listed investment companies trading below the value of their assets. So according to Morningstar, across the 98 LICs trading on the ASX, 82 traded at a discount at the end of May 2021. And this is also according to Morningstar. The average discount amongst these 82 LICs was 10.8%. And so what that means is if I am running an LIC and I own $100 in shares, my share price is only, you know, $90. As an investor, you can see that the LIC has assets that are worth more than the share price that anyone's willing to buy that share off you for. And so that's really frustrating for LIC investors because they want their share price to reflect the value of the assets that it holds. Now, Jeff Wilson has a track record of not having his LICs trade at a discount, and full credit to him, he is he engages with retail investors, institutions alike. He does what, a roadshow every year, and he hits I don't even know how many cities, but he does the work to make sure that investors know the value of their shares and to close any discount that exists. But now he's taking that approach and saying, every other LIC manager in the market, be on notice. You're letting your shareholders down if you're just letting these discounts linger and you're not making active efforts to close that discount for shareholders. And the first target of his new war was this Templeton Global Growth Fund. So for context, Templeton is one of the world's largest fund managers. It's based in San Francisco. It manages about $1.4 trillion US. And this Templeton Global Growth Fund was their only ASX listed LIC. It's been listed on the ASX for 34 years. And in recent history, it has just always traded at a discount. According to Bell Potter, it has traded at a discount since December 2014. And the discount it was trading at the start of June was 8.3%. So, you know, for every $100 in assets it held, its share price was $92. So in October 2020, Templeton announced a strategic review to address the gap between its share price and its net asset value, basically a strategic review into the discount and how they can close it. And Wilson Asset Management has been heavily involved in this LIC. It initially invested 6 years ago, has been steadily increasing its stake over the years through its many different LICs. Wilson Asset Management strategic value, LIC with the ASX ticker WAR, owned 14.7% of Templeton LIC. And so basically Templeton has been underperforming. It's had a discount for a while. They haven't been able to close that discount. Jeff Wilson's had the company in its sights for a while, has been steadily buying more and more. And recently, a couple of days ago, as of this time of recording, they've basically pulled the trigger and made the announcement that one of their listed investment companies will be acquiring the whole LIC.
There you go. I'm excited to see how this plays out, to see if Jeff's strategy for these LICs that he's going to slowly acquire is going to pay off. But
well, I think we should say that it's not that his strategy isn't to just acquire a whole bunch of LICs. It's not like an LIC roll-up play. I think his ultimate strategy is to buy LICs trading at a discount, work with them to close that discount, and then sell the LICs and move on to the next one. But yeah, it'll be interesting if he does start rolling them up.
No, I mean that strategy where he works with them to, you know, help them market, help them get front of mind of investors, because that's what he's all about. So it'd be interesting to see how that all plays out. What it means, though, is that Templeton's assets will now become part of Wilson Asset Management Global LIC, which is going to bolster their asset base by about 50% from $600 million to just shy of $1.9 billion. So good news, I think, if you're a Templeton shareholder. You're going to have either the choice of WAM Global stock and options, or you're going to be able to cash out at the full value of their holdings. And that's the important part here. Full value. You're not cashing out at the share price. You will be able to cash out at their net asset value, which would be pretty, pretty rare to be able to do that given its underperformance for so long.
Well, it's important to put yourself in the shoes of a Templeton shareholder. You know, you haven't been able to sell the shares at the value of the assets for about 7 years. Yeah, the AFR have said nearly 7 years. So for the first time in 7 years, you have the option to sell at the value of the assets rather than at the share price, which has been trading at a discount. So if you've been someone who's been waiting for the right time to get out of Templeton, Jeff Wilson has really opened the door to realize the full value of your holdings. Or, you know, you take the stock and you become part of Wilson Asset Management Global, and, you know, hopefully the days of your discounts are behind you if Jeff Wilson can continue to do what he does.
Absolutely. So in terms of what does it mean for WAM Global shareholders, not a whole lot. I mean, you're going to have more assets, but also there's going to be more shareholders. It's important to note, though, that, you know, even though Jeff is proven to be able to close discounts, engage retail and institutional investors, you know, you wouldn't expect that Templeton's discount does carry over. However, there is a likelihood that it could. So I guess that's just something to consider. And
it would be heavy if it was a contagious discount and it just followed. But yeah, it definitely could. I mean, there's plenty of reasons why they could have had a discount. You know, maybe investors didn't like the holdings, and so maybe it will trade at a discount. But yeah, that would be heavy for Wilson Asset Management. It would also be heavy for Jeff Wilson, who's really staking his reputation on being able to close discounts.
Yeah. I think the other thing to expect, though, is that this is not going to be the last of Jeff Wilson's war efforts. He's made it pretty clear that this is going to be his strategy for the next number of years. War has a position in VGI Partners Global Investments, which is a $920 million LIC. And this is a surprising one. Also, the Magellan High Conviction Trust, which is a listed investment trust of about $850 million.
Yeah, it is interesting. So two more, well, one listed investment company, one listed investment trust. Let's not get into distinguishing those now. But the war footing of Wilson Asset Management continues. And it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm sure he's ruffled a few feathers in the asset management business. I'm sure they don't like spotlights being shone on those discounts for if they're the fund manager. But it's, you know, Jeff Wilson has a history of trying to stand up for retail shareholders, and, you know, for the shareholders of these funds, you would be pretty happy to see someone taking a really active interest in closing the discount and increasing the value of your shares.
So there we have it, two listed investment companies, two stories of listed investment companies merging or acquiring. So watch this space, as it no doubt will continue to happen over the coming years. But as we said right at the top of the episode, we will be closing out this one today with an update on the stock of the year. It is the new financial year, so we're halfway through.
So I reckon we can just wrap here, actually.
No. So we thought we'd take a look at both of the stocks that we picked at the start of the year. Now, massive caveat on this, as always, that we weren't doing this in any way for a buy, hold, or a sell recommendation. This was merely an opportunity for us to take a look at a stock and put it on our watch list for the year, just to see how it plays out, as a bit of a fun game between you and I, Ren.
Well, look, if anyone has followed Equity Mates for a while, they would know that these stock of the year picks are nowhere near a buy, hold, or sell recommendation, because I always seem to be able to pick a company that loses a significant part of its value over the course of the year. Some say that being Ren's stock of the year is the kiss of death for a company. And I thought I had avoided that this year, but hey, you know, it's happened again.
No. Well, at least yours is. At least it's still in the green. Often your stocks will end in very, very dark red. But let's kick it off. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So I, at the start of the year, I was looking at Tencent. For those unfamiliar, it's a Chinese tech company, famous for WeChat, the Chinese social media platform. But WeChat is so much more than a social media platform. It's sort of, you know, it's a super app, if people are familiar with that term. It's got everything from payments to a whole bunch of other companies that have been built on WeChat infrastructure. Meituan, which is the Uber Eats of China, has been built specifically on WeChat. Pinduoduo, a e-commerce play over in China, similarly. WeChat is essential infrastructure in the Chinese internet economy. And then it also has a raft of other investments. It uses the money it makes to invest globally. It owned like 5% of Afterpay, a bit of Spotify, a bit of Tesla. I think it had like 700 VC investments. It has fingers in so many different pies. Tencent was up 34% in sort of mid-February. And I was saying that we should just stop the competition now and just call it a day. But then what has happened is there has been a big sell-off of Chinese stocks, especially Chinese growth stocks. And so now, year-to-date, Tencent is up 3%. But to put this China sell-off in context, from the middle of February to sort of May this year, a lot of the big Chinese names fell off. So Tencent was down 23% from its year-to-date high. Alibaba was down 17%. JD.com down 26%. Meituan down 29%. Pinduoduo down 34%. So investors obviously falling out of love with Chinese stocks. And just to sort of complete the picture for people in terms of some of the reasons why that's the case, First thing to note was, if people remember, in March 2021, there was threats from the US government to delist Chinese shares from US exchanges. And they also have this...
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Like depository receipt system where you can invest in like Chinese stocks through ADRs, and there was threats to just delist these Chinese stocks. So that obviously put a lot of fear in the market. But some analysis I was reading from Morgan Stanley has said the China sell-off, you know, it's a combination of factors. There's the inflation story and the fear of rising interest rates that's hitting global growth stocks, you know, around the world. We've seen it in the US. We've seen it in Australia. But there's also China-specific concerns. There's a lot of concerns over China's growth path and whether it will be able to keep hitting the lofty growth numbers that it has historically been hitting. And then there's also some questions over the future of Chinese monetary policy and potentially the fact that China will raise rates before the rest of the world. So that's from Morgan Stanley in terms of some of the reasons why. But yeah, Tencent, it had a ripping start to the year, and it's really come back to earth. So there's a lot of the year to go.
There is a lot of year to go, half a year to go. But the good news is that it is still up, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah. Stop rubbing it in. Stop rubbing it in and get to yours.
All it needs is for those big stocks to turn around and it'll be roaring back to life. But I don't think it really takes away from the underlying company that it is. So to confirm, up 34%, back down now, up 3%. We will watch how it plays out. So, Ren, mine was Roblox, and I took a bit of a gamble this year by actually choosing a company.
You are known for taking a bit of a gamble from time to time.
No, you got to be in it to win it. And I chose a company that actually hadn't listed when we started the competition, and that was a Roblox. It IPO'd in March. I think we first discussed this in Feb. So I was eagerly awaiting the IPO, and I think it ended up doing a direct listing from memory. Roblox develops and operates an online entertainment platform, otherwise known in the gaming circles as a sandbox game, essentially where you've got developers. It's sort of like a two-sided marketplace. You've got developers and also those that play the game, and you go in and create an entire world and interact with each other. So it's huge. It's a massive game. I think at last count it was over, it was almost half now. Half of the kids aged between, say, 9 and 12, I think, over in the United States play this game, which is just pretty phenomenal. But at the time of writing, the stock price was about $89, so a market cap of $51 billion. And Ren, since IPO, that takes it to being up just shy of 30%, 29.47%. And that has really come since mid-May. So I had a look at what was going on since mid-May. And the big question when we were speaking about this at the start of the year was, is the growth of this company and the users that it's commanding, was that really off the back of COVID, and is it sustainable? How many people are going to return or continue playing once life in America, returns to some form of normality? And they released their monthly metrics in May, and the numbers were pretty staggering. So their daily active users is 43 million people. That is up 28% from May last year. The hours engaged each day is 3.2 billion. In May was 3.2 billion, up almost 10%. And in terms of revenue, 219 million, up 26% on this time last year. So the growth story continues to be there. Users, daily active users, engagement, and also revenue hitting some pretty solid numbers. So look, I'm still backing it in. Subsequently up 30%. We'll see how it plays out.
The big question that I had at the start of the year was, you were talking about how a third of children aged 9 to 12 in the US were playing, and now you're telling me that number is half of children aged 9 to 12 in the US are playing.
Maybe not quite, but yes.
My big question at the time, and I guess my question still, is once you get to high school or middle school in the US, do you age out of this game? Like, is this a game that can grow beyond that pretty narrow band of 9 to 12-year-olds?
Yeah, the May metrics didn't have that level of detail. I'm sure we'll get it in the results towards the end of this year, or whenever the next reporting season is for the United States. So, agree with you on that question. It'll be interesting to see what the numbers show, but I think the part of the reason that they did the IPO as well was to try and start expanding their product range and also expanding into international markets, because they're still pretty heavily overweight in the US at the moment. So let's see how it all plays out, but up 29%. So it would have been neck and neck if Tencent had kept doing what it was doing, but alas,
the curse of Ren strikes again.
But anyway, that brings us to the end of today's episode. We have covered plenty of ground. Just a reminder that please, if you are looking for a gift, or even if you're looking for some reading, we have just launched our book, Get Started Investing. It is not just for those who have started their investing journey. We cover a lot of ground in that in the book as well. So we've taken excerpts from over 150 interviews with our experts and a lot of the lessons that we've learned over the last 4 or 5 years of doing the podcast and tried to put it into a pretty easy and digestible book. So head over to booktopia.com.au to pre-order now. It's launching in late August. We are ideally going to have some sort of a launch party, hopefully pending COVID and all those sorts of things. But yeah, we might have a game that if you do manage to pre-order and prove it, then we could get some tickets to the party or something. Haven't discussed that with Ren. I'm just spitballing here, but
no, I like it. I like it. But anyway, let's get through this lockdown first,
yep.
And then let's think about live events. So, hope everyone's staying safe and doing okay. And you know, hopefully our constant stream of content can get you through this lockdown. If you're ever looking for podcasts, there's plenty more in the Equity Mate stable. Get Started Investing, You're in Good Company, Comedian V Economist, Meet Pay Love. Honestly, we've got every day covered.
Absolutely. That's right. So look, join us on the Facebook discussion group as well. Follow us on all the social channels and make sure you're signed up to our newsletters. Plenty going on in the world of Equity Mates. You can contact us at contact@equitymates.com as well. But Ren, always good to chat stocks and we will pick it up next week.
Sounds good.
Equity Mates Investing Podcast is a product of Equity Mates Media. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional finance, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement and, if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. Do not take financial advice from a podcast. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the Equity Mates website where you can find ASIC resources and find a registered financial professional near you. In the spirit of reconciliation, Equity Mates Media and the hosts of Equity Mates Investing Podcast acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea, and community. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.